words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. Ah, Zacchaeus. We finally get to Zacchaeus. I don't know about you all. Maybe you don't know this story or you haven't heard it that much, but Zacchaeus, one of the great characters, one of the inspirational figures in our scripture. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Zacchaeus today and why he's a model, I think, for all of us on conversion. And by conversion, I mean the ways in which we let go of certain attachments and turn ourselves to God in a way that gives us life and joy and peace. But before I do, do you all know the song? Do you all know the camp song about Zacchaeus? Anybody know? No? Okay, a couple went to Vacation Bible School. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You know that one? Anybody know? He climbed up in the sycamore tree. There's hand motions. The kids, if they were here, they could show you. Climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And then, what is it? And when the Lord passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today. Well, there's different versions. And I thoroughly embarrass myself. But that's okay, because that's what makes Zacchaeus awesome. Is that that's what he does. Now, it's probably not fair to do what I'm about to do, which is suggest that Zacchaeus had a Napoleon complex, or Napoleon had a Zacchaeus complex is more fair. But that Zacchaeus was probably one of these little guys who struggled with what is put in a very, I think, humorous way, the problem we all struggle with, which is the problem of recognition or lack of recognition. Zacchaeus suffered from being short of stature, small of stature. And that Greek word is really interesting, and I won't go on a tangent with it. But it doesn't only mean physically short. There's another level to it, and that's where I think the heart of this passage is. It's about our stature and how easily we can feel unrecognized and not accorded attention. We think about children, and this is, of course, a passage for children, isn't it? That's why that song, who feel sometimes small of stature and not noticed, not reckoned with. When you're in conversations, like the other night we had a dinner party, and I was fascinated by the way the kids kept trying to get in there. Because everybody wants to be acknowledged. It's a huge part of what makes us alive and human. And when we don't get acknowledged, just think about what happens to children when they're in homes where they're not acknowledged, when there's abuse or any kind of violence or whatever it is where children don't get that recognition. We all know what terrible results can happen. From a kind of a self-lacerating lack of self-esteem to an incredible attempt to overcompensate, to make oneself big. And I wonder maybe a little bit whether Zacchaeus gave in to that. Wanted to make himself a big man, finally. So what does he do? He becomes not just a tax collector, but the tax collector. In the Greek, it's architelonis, the arch tax collector. He's the big daddy, so to speak. And maybe he thought, as sometimes we do, that if we just worked hard enough and sort of stomped over the competition and got to the top of the heap, that finally we'd get that recognition. But of course, we know it doesn't happen that way, right? Zacchaeus probably had some good days where he was king of the hill and where he could throw dinner parties and people would come and say, wow, that's Zacchaeus. But underneath it, he must have known at some level that they were still saying that little Zacchaeus, that wee little man. What a sinner. What a fake. What a phony. And maybe even internally he was feeling some of that. Have you ever felt that way? I felt that way, not about money or stature. Obviously not. I'm not. It's a big guy complex I got. But for me, it was intellectual, a sense of inferiority intellectually. And so I overcompensated in school and drove myself into the ground to prove that I was smart enough, and I never felt smart enough. I went to a great college. I got good grades, and I didn't feel smart enough, but my classmates, I all thought were smarter than me. I went to graduate school the first time thinking I'd do a PhD and left because I didn't quite feel like I measured up. So I then went back years later, got the PhD with an advisor who said I was doing a great job, and I kind of said, oh, he's just saying that. Right? Little Zacchaeus. I didn't feel somehow like I was getting what I wanted. And I bet if we talk to some professors at Cornell who are at the top of the heap, they'll probably tell you the same thing. It doesn't work. If we talk to an investment banker in New York, if we talk to whoever is at the top of the heap, they're going to probably say, it doesn't orient you. Right? You may have great days if you got $1 million, for sure, on your yacht in the Caribbean. But you'll never have a sense that your life is oriented towards something. And you can so easily be thrown into insecurities. That's what we see about with rich people who often feel like they don't ever have enough, drive themselves into the ground. Well, there is Zacchaeus, right? I think in something like that position of wanting recognition and acknowledgement and doing all these things to try to get it and none of them working. And finally, thank the Lord, he owns up to it. And he makes an utter fool out of himself. That's why he's our role model at the very first. The beginning of his conversion is when he goes and climbs up that sycamore tree. And now everybody's laughing at him. Look, you're not a bird up there, are you, dude? I mean, it's humiliating. He owns the fact that he's not getting what he wants with his plan for his life. And he says, I've got to see this guy who I keep hearing about is able to help people find themselves, find that inner core, whether they're rich, whether they're poor, whether they're sinners, prostitutes, whatever they are. When they've been with him, suddenly they found that they have a sense of purpose and direction and orientation. So he climbs up that tree because that's the only way he's going to see him. And he's willing to be mocked. Do any of you ever feel that way when you come to church here at Cornell? I think about that. You all are kind of in the sycamore tree here. I mean, maybe not all of you. I mean, some of you may not tell your friends where you're going on Sunday night. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. I mean, there is a way in which in this culture, where we're not like in the South, where everybody goes to church and you have cover for going on Sunday. No one's going to laugh at you and mock you. Maybe here you get a little bit of that. It's a bit risky for you all, I think. It's a bit like Zacchaeus to say, I know there's something more. I'm doing really well. I'm successful. My studies, hopefully, are going well, you know. But there's some sense that there's something there and I want to see it. And that's, in effect, what we do every week. And that's a huge part of conversion. It's that effort that we make to slough off these images that don't really feed us, to be willing to admit that we're maybe not what we want to pretend we are, and to accept the fact that other people may see that, and we're willing to bear that the way Zacchaeus was. But that's not the conversion, is it? I mean, that's necessary to show up in front of Jesus. That's what that daily prayer is. It's climbing the sycamore tree. If you have a morning prayer practice, that's in effect what you're doing every morning. You're going to God with all your flaws, your weaknesses, and you're climbing that tree and you're looking and waiting and straining. But the conversion comes when absolutely outside of his realm of possibility, Zacchaeus, who's yearning for someone to kind of take all of his desires and fulfill them, is actually looking at him first. Right? That's the miracle of this story, is that Jesus names Zacchaeus before they've even had a conversation and says, hey, you're the one I'm going to be with today. You're the one I want. And suddenly, Zacchaeus has to reckon with what we all have to reckon with the first time we fall in love. This is a love story. Conversion is a love story, right? You're looking. I was with a friend this weekend. We were talking about old times in college, how all of our failed love affairs that we had. We were looking for love in all the wrong places, right, as the old song goes. And when true love happened, it can only happen when we see someone looking at us with eyes of love, where we suddenly realize our desire is sort of engulfed and overwhelmed with a desire for us, including the good, bad, and the ugly about us, where we can't hide. I remember that the first time Sarah looked at me that way. And I felt like little wee Zacchaeus. No, you don't want to, you know, I'm not all that. But that moment of recognition is at the heart of our conversion. When we realize God wants us specifically for something greater than we might have imagined. Zacchaeus just wanted to be happy and not be belittled and be a good tax collector, I suppose. And when Jesus says, no, I want you for something else, that's the moment of love. It's sort of like a tidal wave. He's going one direction, the tidal wave comes, and Zacchaeus realizes, I better just get on. Because there's this energy here. There's this life here. And it doesn't matter that I'm a wee little man and I'm being mocked. I sense that that isn't going to matter with Jesus at all. So that's the moment. Maybe you've had that moment. Maybe you haven't. It's okay if you haven't. Just keep climbing the tree. Climbing that sycamore. Be honest about who you are and maybe honest about the ways you sometimes hide from yourself when you're in that tree. Be willing to accept. And then wait. And when that look comes, how do you know? Right? How do you know true love? That's a hard question. But the story gives us, I think, one of the best clues to it. When we see how Zacchaeus responds, he says, I'll give away, as he's being mocked, of course, for being a crazy man. He says, I'll give away half of what I own to the poor. I'll give back four times as much as I've defrauded anybody of. It's absolutely impertinent, extravagant generosity. That's the sign of the call of God. When you no longer feel you've got to hold on to the things that you thought made you who you are, that gave you stature, when you can let go of them, give them away extravagantly, whether they're your intellectual gifts, whether they're your financial gifts, and you don't feel it as a diminishment, that's the call. That's when you know you've been called to whatever it is. And we find that if we're patient, if we're humble, and we're attentive. And when we do, it doesn't matter that the world may look at us and think that we're a bit nuts, that we've lost our minds to give away so much of what the world thinks is of value. Because then, as the scripture says, we may be lost in the world, but we're found in God. And it's the greatest gift we can have. In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen.